maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'd already incorporated this familiar psalm into the service before I saw the memorial service program. I asked about the Psalm 23 inclusion and found out that it was Nina's favorite passage in the Bible. In fact, I was told that she had a practice of reciting it every night in prayer. God certainly works in mysterious ways. I want to welcome you. My name is Dr. Doug Stauffer, and I'm pastor of Faith Independent Baptist Church. On behalf of the family, I would like to thank you for being here as we gather together. Remember Nina Kilgore. She's Nina Jane Reeves Kilgore, and I'll explain that as I read the obituary. We want to pay our respects to her memory and her life. This service is about her and about her Savior. It's a celebration of her homegoing and a graduation into heaven. Although funeral services are painful in our lives, they're vitally important as a part of our lives because they force each of us to consider our own mortality. The family wants me to express how much they appreciate you taking the time to come here today. Your presence today shows your love and support for them and your love for Nina. Although the family will not remember everything said today, they will remember that you came. 1 John says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Coming here today shows that your love is indeed, indeed, deed. But do not let this expression of love here today be the last. 1 week, 1 month, 1 year from now, this family is still going to need you. So how can you help them in their time of need? Sometimes we feel powerless. We struggle on what to say. I sat down and jotted down some thoughts that would help me if I was a member of this family. Three simple words represent the gist of the thoughts, all begin with the letter L. Listen, learn, love. Listen to them. Listen to their stories about Nina. Listen as they express their feelings, frustrations, and maybe even fears. They may not be ready to just yet talk, but they will be soon. And when they are ready, try just to listen. Listen. Learn. Most of you naturally feel like you have to say something to help, but you don't always have to do that. There's nothing we can say that will bring Nina back or completely remove all the pain for those still here, but we can learn so much about her by expressing our love. And the last one is love. A hug can express much more than words. I know we're during COVID and there's not a whole lot of hugging going on, but I know that if your family hug each other, if you feel comfortable, hug one another. I mean, it's okay. And it's important. I think that was one of the biggest things we've lost during these times. So be a shoulder for them to cry on. There once was an elderly man who lost his wife. When he saw the man crying, a 4-year-old boy who lived next door climbed onto the man's lap and just sat there. Later, when his mother asked the boy what he had said to their neighbor, the boy replied, "Nothing, I just helped him cry." Sometimes that's the best thing we can do. Listen, learn, love. I hope this little bit of advice helps bring comfort in some way. We are increasingly facing a world of uncertainty all around us. It is times like these that make it important to consider those things in which we are confident. I am certain about these things I'm getting ready to tell you. Nina loved her church family. Every time I shook Nina's hand, before COVID, of course, she would exclaim, "What a great handshake you have." I actually look forward to greeting her at every service and giving her a semi-firm handshake just to hear those words. I miss those handshakes. Nina loved everyone, but especially the children. Yet she would always say that everyone was friendly and welcoming with that contagious smile. I miss that beautiful smile. Nina loved to hear the preaching of God's word. At 92, Nina was very keen with one exception, her hearing. When she didn't hear the Bible passage when I was preaching, she would turn to Carrie and loudly ask her, "What verse?" I miss those outbursts. She sat right here. And at other times, she would hear a point in the message that she really liked, and she would loudly express her agreement, sometimes shaking her fist in agreement. I miss that engagement that we had right there. Nina loved her God. Last year, when I baptized her at 91 years old, I remember asking her if she knew she was going to heaven when she died. She exclaimed right there in the baptistry, "Lord, yes!" During the practice run for the baptism, as she was holding onto my arm, she exclaimed, "You're so strong." I miss that enthusiasm and that honesty. In the midst of our sadness, remember that this is a celebration of life. We're to be comforted because we know where Nina is. Imagine for a moment what Nina is doing right now. We should receive comfort and take assurance, knowing that Nina is in paradise with Jesus. After 92 years on this earth, that one simple truth is all that really matters in life and in death. Where will you spend eternity? Life is not about a house. It's not about the car you drove or the money you earn. Nothing on earth lasts forever, and especially after death. So in times like these, we realize that there are only three things that last forever: our God, His precious word, and eternal souls. Your soul, whether saved or lost, will exist forever. Be assured that none of us has to face the pain of losing Nina alone. God is here with us. As we read earlier in Psalm 23, I'll just apply it to us. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need to fear no evil, for God is with us. His rod and His staff can comfort us. May we all lift up our eyes and look to God today and let Him carry us through this valley. Let's pray. Father God, Nina lived a long life and outlived so many others that she knew and she loved, including both of her husbands. We all miss her deeply already, yet we thank You today. We thank You for the gift that Nina's life was to us, that we had the pleasure of knowing her. Even more so, we thank You that she is now in a much better place, a perfect paradise in Your presence with no more pain, no more sin, no more sorrow or tears. For all this, Lord, we thank You and praise You, give You our love and admiration. But for those still here walking through this valley, the valley of the shadow of death, we ask that You help us. Help us to be ever conscious of Your loving kindness each and every day. Comfort us and fill us with a peace that only You can give, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Fill us with hope today through the promises in Your holy word. And may every tear we shed not only be tears of sorrow for our loss, but also tears of joy for Nina's gain, knowing that after a long life, she is finally home with You in heaven. May we all accept Your free gift of grace and forgiveness by faith so that we can look forward to our reunion with Nina in heaven one day too. We ask this all in the name of Your precious Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to read the obituary. We've all been touched by Nina's life and story, and each of us feels this loss deeply. But we cannot bring her back, and she wouldn't come back if you tried to get her to do so. The important thing is that we learn about, or from Nina's passing, the things that we need to know about ourselves, about life, and about God. Nina Jane Reeves Kilgore was born in Connecticut and moved to San Francisco with her mother and two sisters when she was only 8 years old after her father's passing. However, Nina lived most of her adult life right here in Niceville, except for about 10 years she lived in Buena Park, California, with her family. At the tender age of 16, she was informed by her mother that she was getting married. She responded, "Oh, really? Who to?" She married Jesse Dallas Reeves Sr. because he was smart enough during wartime to offer her mother a ham when asking for Nina's hand in marriage. Now, you say, well, that is so odd, but the story doesn't end there. They were married June 5th, 1944, until the morning of their 53rd wedding anniversary on June 5th, 1997, when Jesse passed away. He held on for a whole week longer than the doctor said possible because he wanted to make it to their anniversary. Later, Nina became close friends with her son's best friend and fell in love and married Royal Red Freeman Kilgore on November 22, 2001. They were only married 4.5 years when Royal passed on April 7, 2006. Nina remained unmarried for the rest of her life. She was 92 years old when she went to be with the Lord and Savior on Sunday, December 20th, 2020. Nina is preceded in death by her parents, Mr. Dwyer, Ann and William Vandermeer, both of her husbands, Jesse D. Reeves Sr. and Royal F. Kilgore, two sisters, Mary and Alita, a granddaughter, Brenda Berwagner, Timmons, a great-grandson, Gage Strahan, and two more. Nina is survived by all four of her children, Jesse D. Reeves and his wife Marie, Judy D. Hitchcock and her husband, Carrie E. Phillips and her husband Alan, and Ruth Reeves. Nina is survived by 8 grandsons and their 6 wives, 6 granddaughters and their three husbands, 30 great-grandchildren, and 11 great-grandchildren. Nina also survived by 2 sisters, Alita Marshall of Niceville and Ann Stallman and her husband of Grass Valley, California, a brother Lester Vandermeer and his wife Rebecca of Charleston, West Virginia, 2 nieces and their families, brothers-in-law, their families, and numerous cousins. Nina considered Faith Independent Baptist Church her biggest family. She loved each and everyone here. And I know that for a fact, that she loved each and every one of you. We're going to have some special music now, if the girls would come ahead. This is the Nunley sisters, Haley, Delaney, and Ava. I ran those two together, and I am so sorry for that. But they're going to come, and they're going to sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, in grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, but shining as the sun, to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. Thank you. Well, that's as close as we can get you to heaven right there. What a tremendous ministry and song, ladies. I do think that, I thank you very much. That is tremendous. I'm a little bit shook up. I, I need to regain my composure a little bit. Let me try it again. Thank you, Haley, Delaney, and Ava. We do appreciate that. And we don't have a whole lot of music going on right now because of COVID, so we're not singing in the church. And they sang the other night and did a tremendous job, and we just appreciate them and appreciate their willingness to be used of the Lord, because that's who they sing for. It's Nina's memorial, and you're here, but there's one person they sing for, and that's Jesus Christ. So that's very important to understand. Let me go ahead and get into the message. You might think, well, you've already preached. Technically, I have not. I have just given you the preliminaries. I'm not going to snort and stomp and do all that stuff, and it wouldn't be appropriate so much during a wedding. And I don't do that each week. I stand behind the pulpit, and I teach a lot. That's what I like to do, and that's what I think I'm called to do, because this church 40 years ago changed my life because it taught me the Bible. And that's what I learned, and that's what changed me and kept me on a path that was the right path. I really appreciate, I told you I baptized Nina last year when she was 91 years old. I baptized Carrie and Al also. And, you know, what a testimony. I mean, Al's been sick for quite a while. We've been praying for him fervently. It's good to see him here tonight. He was able to make it last week, just first time in a while. So continue to pray for this precious family. Pray for all of them. They all need your prayers. Nina lived a long life, 92 years old, but she made a lasting impression. And that impression and that void isn't easy to fill. And it can't be filled, really. Like I said, a hug or a smile or kind word or really no words at all and just listening will help the most. So as I looked at that passage in Psalm 23, David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Essentially, David expressed his understanding that he was not to be the leader of his own life. Like sheep that put their trust in their earthly shepherds, David put his complete trust in following God, his heavenly shepherd. David's shepherd would guide him and lead him every day to help him not go astray. He'll do the same for you. He's done the same for me. I know that's true of Nina too. She embraced her relationship with Jesus Christ. She had a very strong character. But as strong as she was, at some point in her life, she came to realize that God was to be her sufficiency, her all in all. Her strength came from her relationship with the Savior. Nina's spiritual void that every person born into the world has was filled by the indwelling Christ. Like many of us, Nina realized that the world was broken down and mixed up, and I would even say now turned upside down. Yet there had to be an answer for all the evil and the pain and the suffering. She came to believe that the evil in this world had a direct link to people's rejection of God and his offer to become one of his children. Nina trusted Christ as her Savior and became a child of God. We can rejoice because we know that to be the case. Nina also believed that Jesus came into the world to die on the cross for our sins, to make heaven accessible. He died for sinners. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus took the punishment that we deserve. He died in our place for all the wrong things that we have ever done or ever will do. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What we have earned for all our sins is death and separation from the love of God. But Jesus Christ came to this earth and died to give us the free gift of salvation. And friends, it is that gift that gives us hope. We receive eternal life by putting our faith and trust in Jesus. Nina trusted in Jesus for her salvation, and because of that, she experienced what David described in Psalm 23 when he wrote, "My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God was able to meet David in the midst of many troubles. And if you read the Bible and read the life of David, you'll see that he did go through many things, many trials, many tribulations, even children turning on him and cursing him and running him out of Jerusalem. And he still loved him. That's a believer. David's life was far from easy. When his enemies were chasing him, he was hiding alone in a cave in the darkness of night. David knew the Lord was the one who was going to sustain him. God was the one who brought goodness and grace into his life. God alone is the one that brings rest. Life is hard. It is. People die. And it's so sad to see somebody go that we love so much. And I've got to tell you, when I told you about the handshake and her reactions, I miss that. When it first happened, I remember going, whew. And then the second and the third and the fourth time, I was like, I would just say the passage again. She would hear it. I would see Carrie grab her arm, you know, like, "Mom, easy, easy. You're bellowing it out." So the other day, Carrie came to church and she forgot to turn off her phone, so it rang. I said, "Carrie, you're just making up for your mom, the interruption." And listen, I don't worry about that either. You know, church isn't about the pastor. Church is about Jesus Christ. Church is about love. Church is about loving one another and being more concerned about others than you are yourself. Life is about giving. You give of yourself because that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do today. Sometimes families, they don't always get along. I'm fortunate. I have a family and we all pretty well get along. I'm the only preacher in the family. Don't have any competition on that front. That's good. But we need to learn how to come together. And I think even more so now that we've experienced somebody like Nina dying. We miss her. We miss her. But she would want us to love one another even more as each day passes. Life is hard, but David said, "My cup runneth over. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I can imagine that Nina is doing that right now. Dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. She died quickly, surprisingly. We were at church and it was a Sunday night and we got the word that she had died. I remember she died and passed away, and then they brought her back and the family got to say goodbye. While I was preaching that night, I didn't know that she had already died, and I said, maybe God will bring her back just so that she can say goodbye to everybody and all of her family can say goodbye to her. God did that for you, for many of you that were there. Praise God for that. Don't ever think that anything's too little for God to do, because God can work miracles. God does work miracles. God wants to work the miracle of salvation in your life if you're not saved. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." That sounds like you can't know anything about heaven, but the verse doesn't stop there, because the next verse says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The more I study the Bible, the more God reveals about our future heavenly abode. Nina has gone through her share of struggles on this earth, but now, as a child of God, she is beholding beauty beyond our comprehension. She has found perfect rest in heaven promised to all those who believe the gospel. So for us who are not there yet, we must realize in the midst of this time of mourning that there is good news. that through our faith in Jesus Christ, death is not the end. It's just the beginning. We can receive eternal life, that is paradise in heaven, a perfect home for all eternity, simply by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Christ died on that cross. The Bible says He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. God put all of our sin on His Son some 2,000 years ago. Why did He do that? Because of how much He loved us. So that we could accept that payment. We could receive that payment. We could trust in that payment and receive the eternal life that Nina received so many years ago. She would like nothing more, and nothing more would honor her than to know that somebody heard the gospel and said, you know, I don't have that assurance of salvation, but I want to have that. And you got saved as a result of Nina passing on. Don't take it for granted. We don't know what a day will bring. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Why not trust in the Lord if you do not know for sure where you're going to spend eternity? Listen, it's important to do that, and I had many more things I'm going to say, but I'm going to skip to the end. I want to end with these words from a song, and I am not going to sing, and one more passage of Scripture from 1 Thessalonians. I changed the words in the song a little bit. If we never meet again on this earth, my precious friend, if to God you have trusted Him and been forgiven for all your sin, then for us there'll be a meeting in the air, a hallelujah greeting. I'll see you in the rapture some sweet day. And then the second stanza, and to my loved ones let me say that there will surely come a day when the Lord will come again and catch His waiting bride away. So get ready now to meet Him and with hallelujah greet Him. I'll see you in the rapture some sweet day. The chorus is, oh yes, I'll see you in the rapture. Oh, I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you at that meeting in the air. There with our blessed Savior will live and reign forever. I'll see you in the rapture some sweet day. The rapture is the next event on God's calendar. The Bible says that men will wax worse and worse. There'll be a great falling away. There'll be apostasy that's all over the world. We see some of those things going on now. We may really see that that is the essence. What does the Bible say? In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Verse 7 of that passage says, ever learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. One last passage I want to read to you, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. This is about the rapture. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. So he says, I don't want you to sorrow as others that have no hope for those that are sleeping in Jesus. For if we believe, there's the caveat, there's the qualifier. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, like Nina, will God bring with Him back to the clouds. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to go before those that have died, their bodies in the grave or their bodies, you know, in the sea, or they died in 9/11 and disintegrated into dust and ashes. God can put all that back together. Don't kid yourself. Is there anything too hard for God? With God, all things are possible. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ, those that are, their bodies are put in the graves, and like I said, they've disintegrated, it doesn't matter. God can put it all back together. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Here's the rapture. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. My comfort to you are those words right there. You will see Nina again. The caveat, if you believe. If you believe. There are two destinations for the soul. The soul that is redeemed will go to heaven. The soul that remains lost will spend an eternity in hell. Nina would want me to tell you that. Nina wants to see each and every one of you with her. And the only way for that to happen is for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Nothing would honor Nina's memory more than that. Nothing. Nothing. Let's close. Let's close in prayer. Bow your head and close your eyes. Lord, we thank you, God. You're a God of love, a God of mercy, and a God of grace. We ask that you give that comfort and that peace to every believer, just as you've promised us. Amid our sorrow, you've given many of us hope and joy, knowing that we will see Nina again in eternity. Dear Lord, for those who have not yet trusted in you alone for salvation, we ask that you pull upon their heartstrings to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved before it's eternally too late. Please, Lord, give them the courage to give Nina the highest honor of all by allowing her death to lead them to eternal life. If Nina could, we know and believe that she would shout from heaven if a lost soul came to Christ at her memorial. So, God, if anyone in this room today wants to place their faith and trust and hope in you, we just ask that you would touch their heart, open up their heart, give them courage to do so right now, and to ask you to save them right now before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name and for thy precious Son's sake, I pray. Amen. Thank you, family. What we're going to do, and let me just say this first. On behalf of the family, they want me to thank everyone for coming. The family is going to exit over here to my right out the side door. They'll follow me. You'll take a right, and again, following me, and you'll go to the Hall of Faith. We've prepared a meal there for everybody. We have plenty of food. After the last family members exited, we just ask that you all dismiss out here, and then you'll go around to the right. And the Hall of Faith is, again, just around this corner back here. So thank you again for coming. I will ask everyone.